While the GOP is saying it wants to cut trillions in a debt ceiling budget deal, it's also said the debt ceiling must be raised. Do they have any leverage in these talks if the White House knows in the end Republicans will give in? Here to discuss are my freedom fighters, Fox Business Stocks editor and my colleague Elizabeth McDonald, Newsday columnist Ellis Hennekin, and Reason Magazine associate editor Mike Riggs. Emac, why would the Republicans announce at the start of the negotiations they're going to give in on Medicare and whether or not the debt ceiling is raised?
You know, it is stunning. And you know what I fear is going to happen is that in the dead of night, just as it happened last time in the dead of night on Christmas Eve, they're going to raise the debt ceiling in August, because we saw already Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner sent a letter to John Boehner saying, look, lo and behold, tax receipts are coming in more than expected. That gives us buying room until August. So you're going to see the debt melodrama play out until August.
Mike, will the Republicans lose their credibility with the base if they don't do something about debt now? Stated differently, if they vote to raise the debt ceiling, will they ever be in the majority again in the memory of this generation?
Judge, I think they will. I mean, we saw when it came to the continuing resolution budget cuts that, you know, they averted a government shutdown. The cuts were minuscule compared to what they originally wanted. And nobody's head's on a pike. You know, John Boehner's still Speaker. He's still got the Tea Party behind him.
All right. When John Boehner, Ellis Hennekin, mm-hmm. says something like, we're talking about cuts in trillions, mm-hmm. is he misleading the public? Because he's talking about letting the president borrow a trillion between now and October, but asking the president to cut budgets not yet written by a president not yet elected before a Congress only sometime in the future.
Well, do you remember about 15 minutes ago he was promising $100 billion in cuts, a puny $100 billion? Couldn't deliver that. What makes anybody think he can deliver
trillions?
Well, neither
could the Democrats. I mean, this is the same move that the Democrats are pulling, too, that proposing fake spending cuts when they're just talking about the growth and the projected spending. But look, you know, we've got Treasury, we've got PIMCO shorting Treasury. We have the IMF and S&P put out negative outlooks on U.S. debt. We're only going to have reform by market heart attack. In other words, when bond yields start to spike. We're not going to see any spending reform until then, despite the Tea Party, which represents a silent majority of the taxpayer in this country. Taxpayers do not have a seat at this table.
Won't they revolt? Won't the Tea Party revolt against John Boehner? Won't they throw some candidate against him in the primary? Don't they need to remind him that he'd be minority leader Boehner if it weren't for them, Mike?
No, no way. They need to get the Senate. They want the White House. I'm not sure how realistic the White House is just from the Tea Party accomplishing that on their own. I do not think that they have the energy or the resources for infighting.
Hennekin.
Judge, let me turn this political calculation on its head, because I think all of you will have it exactly
backwards.
Well,
you're good at turning things on their heads. Go
ahead. Here's the threat. The threat isn't that they somehow fold on the debt ceiling. Of course they're going to fold on the debt ceiling. There's no responsible person in this country who thinks we ought to give up and let that go.
Well, but, you're looking at someone who has been arguing that the debt ceiling should not be increased and we should take the pain now instead of in the future.
And I love you, Judge, but you're on the losing side of this. Let me tell you where the politics lie.
Go ahead.
That's doing things like dismantling Medicare and turning
then
it into,
you know,
a coupon program.
Why did Vice President Biden, why did Nancy Pelosi, why did Harry Reid, why did House Minority Whip Steny Hoyer all say do not raise a debt ceiling under the Bush administration?
Well,
look, this is
no
all about weighing your interests and checking your principles
at
the door.
Isn't it just a political argument? President Obama himself, when he was Senator Obama, voted against raising the debt ceiling.
Of course it's a political argument, but the politics are, you go and do the things that Boehner, the Tea Party folks want him to do, you're going to get killed in 2012.
No, you won't.
Killed.
No, you won't.
Why would the Republicans say at the outset, Mike Riggs, that the debt ceiling has to go up? Does that enhance their credibility with the Democrats, or does it show their cards?
I mean, I think what they've got here is if they're willing to play ball, you know, maybe they can try and get some calls on their side. I'm not sure how, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that it was really dumb of Boehner to say, of course, we're going to raise the debt ceiling. We don't have any other choice. But I'm not sure that this is a lose-lose for him. I think he can come out of this.
All right. What kind of strings can Boehner possibly expect to be attached to this vote in which Republicans support raising the debt ceiling?
Listen, you make an excellent political argument about him showing his hand too early. On the other hand, your heart's got to go out to the guy. I mean, he's got the Tea Party.
I understand his frustrations. What can he expect to get back from the Democrats, from the president and the vice president, in return for allowing this vote to cross his desk?
I don't think he's going to get much. He's dreaming if he thinks there's trillions. I wonder whether there's hundreds of billions to get. I think he's going to get peanuts.
We switch gears. It's the GOP versus is, you'll love this, Ellis, the GOP in the battle over entitlement reform to preserve their chances of winning control of the upper chamber. Senate Republicans are refraining from hopping on board House Republicans when it comes to a Medicare overhaul. They have been spooked by a special election in New York where the underdog Democrat is now surging by fear-mongering seniors on Paul Ryan's Medicare plan. What do you think about that, Allison?
I'm not sure that fear-monger is the word that I would use, but listen, seniors are legitimately concerned about their beloved Medicare turning into some coupon program they can't count on.
Mike Riggs, does this mean that we will not see, that this generation will not see, that your generation of younger folks will not know entitlement reform, that it'll be the same old thing over and over and over again, and 20 years from now, we'll be here talking about a $50 trillion debt?
Look, Judge, I just don't think we're going to see it before 2012. I mean, I want this as much as anybody else. But, you know, the Senate is incredibly skittish about this stuff. Even the conservatives in the Senate aren't particularly conservative. I mean, you've got Rand Paul as your outlier there. He is not leading the pack. I think that maybe with two houses, they might feel more confident in January 2013. But I have a hard time believing that they're going to risk the four seats they need in 2012.
What?
Over something that they've been doing for ages. I mean, the cat food argument, the Medicare arguments, they're not unique to Democrats.
Got it. What ducks would have to fall in a row for there to be any reform of Medicare? Are we stuck with this Lyndon Baines Johnson Ponzi scheme forever, for as long as there's a United States?
Not forever. It comes at a time, again, when bond yields spike higher and China stops buying our debt. And, you know, that's when you're going to see the reform happen. It's sort of necessity will push the government's hand. Right now, we have all you can eat, fast food health care paid for by Medicare. And even people on Medicare understand that that can't last forever. Medicare was launched in the 60s and it wasn't meant to cover, you know, very expensive treatment. It was 60s era medicine that's now a 60s entitlement program being applied to 20th century medicine.
What is the Democratic solution to the unfunded mandates? Even the low-end estimates are $50 trillion the government will have to spend on people now living who will claim the entitlement to this program, money that it doesn't have. And as you answer, remember that 10,000 baby boomers a day are retiring and entering the system.
Your math is absolutely correct. And I think it's fair to say that neither party has a legitimate solution. I mean, smart Dems are saying, listen, we've got to reassess the entire health care funding thing, get back to single payer, find a way to make sure that health care comes before the profits of insurance companies.
Hospitals. I mean, Paul Ryan has a free market approach. What the Dems want is screw down on price controls, screw down on Medicare via price controls, or gut the only free market program that works, and that's Medicare Advantage. You know, but seniors are already paying into the system. They pay monthly in a premium. Medicare Advantage actually works. The Democrats want to gut that.
Riggs, we got 30 seconds left. Would a free market approach ever be enacted by this Congress?
I seriously doubt it, Judge. I think Democrats want to set price controls and they want to raise taxes. I think Republicans are terrified of losing the foothold they have in the House. And they're definitely terrified of having the margin in the Senate increase anymore. I mean, I'm holding out for 2012, but to be completely honest, they're not owning this debate. They're losing the PR battle, and it should be theirs because the deficits are real.
Got it. Mike Riggs, EMAC, Ellis Hennigan, it's a pleasure, my friends. Thanks for joining us.